This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
This is Varsity Letters, your British Columbia High School and University sports podcast, hosted by veteran Province sports reporter Howard Samura.
It's Thursday, December the 3rd, and you're listening to Varsity Letters here on Province Sports Radio. I'm your host, Howard Samura, joined as always in our downtown Vancouver studios of Province Sports Radio by longtime producer-engineer Adam Foster. We have reached the pinnacle of high school football in the province of British Columbia. Subway Bowl will invade BC Place Stadium on Saturday, and we have four high school coaches set to join us on the show today. Off the top, it will be from the Abbotsford Panthers, Jay Fujimura, Brian Brady, the head coach of the Carson Graham Eagles, as well Mark Townsend of the Mount Douglas Rams, and Farhan Lalji, the Newminster Hayeks, will talk about all things high school football, as well as a great JV program happening at Newminster Secondary School. We're Varsity Letters, and we're back on the air. Jay Fujimura, now our guest here on Varsity Letters, the head coach of the Abbotsford Panthers. Of course, the Panthers headed to the Subway Bowl BCAA Championship Final on Saturday. They are going to face the Carson Graham Eagles of North Vancouver in a 4 o'clock game, one of the showcase games of the day. And, Coach, thanks for joining us once again on the show.
No problem. Pleasure being on.
Abbotsford Panthers football, obviously, we thought some great things were in store for your group earlier this season, Jay, and you guys have lived up to it every step of the way with a great finish through the stretch drive of the season. Now you're in the championship final. To set the scene for us with practice this week, how excited and focused are your guys heading into the big game against Carson Graham?
This week we approach practice pretty much the same one we have every week. We keep an even keel, just focus on the things that we need to do in order to get the win. Emotions and such, just keep everything in check and go into it like any other game and, stick to the plan and hopefully come out with a victory.
And that really is important. It might not be the quote everyone's kind of so-called looking for in terms of all the excitement that builds, but keeping your guys on that even keel obviously has been so great for your team this season. Can you talk about, your victory last week in the semifinals, what went well for you guys and kind of how you build off that victory over Langley heading into this game?
I was really happy with how we played against Langley. Everything went pretty much according to how we drew it up and our plan, defensively and offensively. The guys spend a lot of time, and we spend a lot of time breaking down different things, looking at a lot of different films, I'm sure, as every coach does. And then we create a game plan based on that. And everything happened as we saw it was going to happen. And we're hoping that we're doing the exact same approach this week to play Carson, and hopefully everything goes according to plan.
Well, that Carson Graham team, and talking about their defensive secondary coach, I don't know what you've seen on film this season, but it seems to be a defense that really can make some big takeaways, especially from their defensive secondary. What have you noticed most about that Carson Graham defense?
The Carson Graham defense, they're big. Their D line is very good. Linebackers are good. They have a good secondary. Probably some all-stars back there, and they're tall and they're fast. I rank them right up there with any of the defenses in the province. I also ranked Langley and John Barsby in that same manner. So we've had to go through some of the best defenses I think we faced all year coming into the playoffs, and a lot of it is preparation and focus, and then just sticking with the game plan and not getting frustrated and just staying the course. And usually for us, if we do that, I think we're good enough that we can come out with a win.
Well, Jay Fujimura is our guest here, the head coach of the Abbotsford Panthers, and the Panthers obviously playing for a Subway Bowl title Saturday, 4 o'clock at the Dome. Coach, ran a story on your football team in the province newspaper today, and there's two pictures that our editors chose to use on the page, and I think they really tell a big story about your team this season. The first one shows Chase Claypool, your magnificent senior wide receiver, going up against double coverage of the Langley Saints. And he high points this football. It's actually out of his range a bit, but he's making a great catch coming down with the football. Can you talk about, Chase's ability to just go up there and get footballs and really, overmatch even double team coverage that he's going to face, for most of the game probably on Saturday?
Yeah, the thing about Chase is that he's not only a special athlete, but he's a lot bigger and stronger than you realize until you play him up close. Even when I'm standing next to him, I feel like he towers over me. Mm. He's got really long arms, really long, big hands. He is one of those. He's like a basketball guy, and he goes up for the ball, and he has an excellent. He's got I think it's like a 46-inch vertical, so he can outjump most people, even people just as tall as him. And he's aggressive and competitive. So you put those all in the mix, and then we throw a ball to him. Most of the time, it's either he gets it or no one gets it. So our odds are pretty good when we're chucking up to him.
You know what? Is this something maybe people don't know if you haven't seen this kid play? Is the edge that he plays with? I mean, he's gifted, but he has intangibles in terms of toughness and grit as well. Do you think that's one thing about Chase that maybe people don't know about?
I think they don't know, and a lot of teams try to get under his skin. I know when he was younger, that became kind of part of a game plan against him, maybe even the beginning of this year. Come in the playoffs and the maturity he's had just over this season, that just doesn't happen. Every team we've played has tried to, target him a little bit. And I think that he has seen that as adversity and a challenge. And he's kept his composure, and he's done what he needs to do, and just catch balls and make plays. And I think that, he's one guy that you have to account for, and he's tough to stop. But we have a couple other guys that can make some plays too. So,
exactly. And last question on Chase is in the story I wrote about Abbotsford in the paper this morning, I wanted to include a quote that Chase had given me a few weeks ago when I asked him. Because there was an incident in the Holy Cross game earlier in the season where he was actually ejected for unsportsmanlike conduct. A lot of young kids aren't going to own up to that kind of stuff. They're going to evade it. They're not going to give you the straight up answer. And when I asked him about that, he reacted to the point where, it was almost like I don't want to say it was life changing, but it meant a heck of a lot to him. I could tell how bad he felt that he had taken that penalty and hurt his team, and he really owned it. Just talk about that aspect and the character aspect that he's shown as a maturing kid here, who's going to be headed off to Notre Dame next year.
We've chatted about it a number of times, and we try to learn from every experience that you have, and those things happen for a reason, and you either learn from it or then it's a waste. With him, it was something that he had to grow from and learn from. He is competitive, and sometimes a little too competitive, and that gets under his skin a little bit. And I said, we have to have that even emotion when you play the game. It's always there, but you have to be able to control it. And part of the thing is that he needed to own things that he did. And like you said, his ownership of his actions is a big component in growth and becoming a complete player. There's no room for make excuses. Excuses are just reasons why you lost. Right. And so we're going to get past that, and we're going to build from that. And I think he's done a really great job, and he's taken that attitude into the playoffs. And you can see how, I've seen, I don't know if anyone else has seen how razor focused he is right now. And that just transfers to the rest of the team, and we've just been for the most part on point this entire playoff run,
and it's looked very, very cohesive, as you say, coach. And your grade 11 quarterback John Madigan has had a very, very productive season, and obviously having Claypool as one of the guys he's throwing it to helps, but there's been a ton of passes he's thrown to other guys on this team. The offense has been multi-dimensional, but John's a kid who's really come a long way. The focus is solely on this weekend, but I know you've got a great one next season as well with another year left, but talk about John's play and kind of the generalship he gives you at a very important position on the field.
Yeah, John just got thrown into the fire, so to speak, right into a starting role at a good team that likes to throw the ball. He had a successful season at junior last year, but as he found out, early on, junior is quite a bit different than varsity ball. Everything is a lot faster. There are more reads to look for. And he had a little bit of a rough start, throwing a lot of interceptions, throwing touchdowns, but interceptions as well. And it took some time, and he has sort of worked it out, gained a little bit of confidence. You know, he's always had the support of his team and his receivers and the coaching staff. And I think with that, he has improved every week to the point now where he knows what he's looking for, and his timing is getting right down pat, and we're throwing right to the open spots when we need him to.
And we don't get to talk too much about the guys along the offensive and defensive lines, but I noted that Jesse Clifford, number 66 on your team, provincial all-star along the offensive line. Can you talk about him in particular, Coach, and that O-line and kind of how solid they've been all year?
Yeah, Jesse has been playing our left tackle. He's big and he's quick, and so we often use him for against a guy on the backside against John. The rest of our O-line, this is probably one of the better O-lines that I've had since we've been here. They're big, they're strong, they're fast, and they're committed, and they work as a team. They're all the time working hard. I know they don't get a lot of credit, but as far as Abby goes, it's one of the best lines in Abby that I've ever seen. They can do everything on the ball. They can move people. We don't run that much, but when we do, we can move people around, and they protect John. I mean, John's thrown, I can't remember, I think it was like 265 passes, and people have only got to him 13 times. So I think that's a pretty good when most teams know that all we do is throw, so they bring a lot of pressure. So I think the line has stepped up to the challenge, and you know, as a huge part of the reason why we are where we are. And a lot of those guys on the O-line, they play both ways. They're on the D-line as well, and you know, they're working hard. We come against a lot of teams that when we play, it's like with Barsby especially, they impressed. You know, they impressed the heck out of me of going there and playing tough to Barsby, who's one of the toughest teams to stop. And they gritted it out. And then with Langley has a great running back, and they have a really big line, and they stuck in there, you know, went toe-to-toe with them. So I don't expect anything different from them this week versus Carson.
As we said, Jay Fujimura, our guest, the Abbotsford Panthers head coach, getting ready for the big game against Carson Graham for the BCAA Subway Bowl Championship Saturday, 4 o'clock at the Dome. And Coach, just in terms of the legacy of this program and football, you know, in Abbotsford, I mean, we can look back on the many AAA titles won by WJ Mode. I know Rick Hansen won one with Jacob Dirksen a number of years ago. Now here you guys are at the AA level, ready to contend for a provincial championship. And, you know, you look through the pages of history and see that Abbotsford, I believe it was 1984, would have been a Bill McGregor team, yeah, I guess, that last won the BC championship. And that was, I believe, at the top tier. But you know what? What has it been like this week? Have you heard from, you know, past alums? Is there a sense of pride bursting in this Abbotsford Panthers football community that you guys can be the first ones to win a provincial title for your school in football at the senior level in like three decades?
Yeah, we've had some messages come in. Some players have gotten messages. People have come by and said, you know, good luck, rooting for you. Those kind of things. I think it's nice for them to, you know, sort of see the resurgence of the program, and not just of Panthers and football, but just Panthers in general. I believe that we're competitive in a number of sports now, and we are gained that position where we're developing a culture of commitment to winning, and a commitment to success, and a commitment to working hard. And I think that all ties in together with not just the success of our football program, but all programs that we run. And yeah, I've gotten messages and people wanting tickets and wanting what time when the game was, and wanting to, even if they weren't in province, to find out how to watch it. So we appreciate all that support, and it means a lot to the guys, you know, who've worked really hard, and they want to represent the school well.
Well, it's a huge weekend for the Panthers football nation. I know the eyes of the BC football community will be on you guys 4 o'clock at the Dome on Saturday against Carson Graham. Coach, all the best. It's been so fun talking to you and getting to know your players and watching your team play this season. All the best on Saturday for a great finish for Abbey football this season, and we thank you again for joining us this week on Varsity Letters.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Brian Brady is now our guest here on Varsity Letters. Of course, the head coach of the Carson Graham Eagles. The Eagles headed for the Subway Bowl, a BCAA championship final against the Abbotsford Panthers. The game time, 4 o'clock Saturday at the Dome. Coach, thanks for joining us. And we got to find out from you what practice has been like this week and how pumped and how focused your guys are for the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, it's been the week to get down and become focused. The boys look good this week. They're all really excited about the game, and they've been able to put that aside and just get down to work during practice. And that's what's important. And they're really taking in what we're doing and being coachable, which got us to where we are right now. And yeah, we're trying to approach it like another game. That's really hard, but yeah, they're doing well with it.
You talk about that, and that's the key, being coachable right from the start of the season, Coach. I mean, I knew you probably knew you had a pretty talented team here, some size on the line, skill position guys that could deliver, and a lot of things have really, you know, come into play here for you guys to get this hot down the stretch. But how gratifying is it to see coachable guys buying in and finding success that way at the most important time of the season?
Well, it's absolutely fantastic, and just being able to get the hard work and get the success off that. I know you'll look all through every program in the province, and you see all these kids, every kid's coachable and puts in the hard work. But it's really nice when your kids get to experience that success. It shows them that it pays off. That in life, when you put in hard work, it's going to pay off for you. So. That's great for our kids, and it's great to see them experience success.
So many great things have been happening, you know, with the program this year. And one of them is the fact that you guys turned 50 this year. There's a kind of synchronicity to that. I think is really neat that you guys were able to celebrate 50 years earlier, you know, this season in your annual rivalry game, the Buchanan Bowl with Handsworth, huge celebration in terms of that landmark at your school. And now to be playing into the final here, the earlier celebration obviously brought a lot of alums, you know, to the fore, guys that are proud to have been Carson Graham Eagles. What has it been like this week for you? Have you heard from a lot of those guys? Are your players telling you they're hearing from past players? I just want to get a feel for the Carson Graham football community as a whole and how they've kind of come together this week.
Yeah, we've heard from a lot of alumni. We've heard from a lot of coaches that have coached here over the years. And one of our alumni is Lucas Bill, who was a key contributor for us last year. He emailed us before the game last week and just said to wanted us to remind the players that, you know, playing high school football is really special and there's nothing like it. And Lucas is over at McMaster right now, and he was a contributor over there this year. And for him to say something about like that and to have the kids hear something like that, it really pays off.
That's
so
great.
It's really nice. It's really nice to have. For them to hear that.
That's great to hear. As well, you know, let's talk about some of the guys on this team. I know you've been a guest on the program here before, and we have talked about some Carson Graham players, but you know what? There's some guys that we haven't mentioned. We'll get to some other guys in a bit here, but I wanted to get your thoughts on your linebacker, Christoph Stengel, provincial all-star of this past week, leading tackler on your team. He's broken the 100 tackle mark. What has he meant to you guys, and how big was he in your victory in the semifinals last week?
Oh, he was instrumental in the victory. He had a big sack that put GW in a long yardage situation, which forced them to take a chance downfield. He's always been someone, and his play is definitely a difference maker for us, but he's a great leader and a strong individual. So he's been really good for that. Like, you can always look to him. He's always the one on the sideline saying, hey, focus up, guys. And he's almost like a coach on the field. So having a guy like that on the team makes my job and my D coordinator, Larry Donahoe's job a lot easier.
What about a kid named Aaron Skye, wears number 75 for you, was also named a Subway Bowl All-Star. I know he goes both ways on the lines for you guys, but picked the provincial All-Star as a defensive tackle, Coach. Those guys don't get a lot of credit, but Aaron Skye and the rest of that group on the D-line, let's say, how have they performed this year?
Well, when I started coaching at Carson last year, my first practice in spring ball, I saw Aaron Skye as a grade 11, and he came off, like, I was coaching O-line and D-line last year, and the way he came off the ball, I was just like, wow, this is going to be a lot of fun. And he's so fast off the ball, and he's aggressive, and he's a good football player and a better person. So he's been doing really well. We have Simon Cole, who's in there, who's been doing really well. He's a little bit more undersized, but he gets off the ball as fast as anyone. We have Quinton James, and we have Mitchell Thrift. So we have a really well-rounded unit, and the great thing is we have a great backups as well that are able to come in there and fill in when needed.
Wow, that's terrific to hear. And those guys, obviously, as we say, want to give them a shout-out because they don't get a whole lot of mention, but when you watch a guy like Flynn Hayes find that seam, or, you know, so much of it's coming from his offensive line. Let's talk about your running back, Flynn Hayes, number 44, rightly honored as a provincial all-star at running back, second in AA in rushing yardage, I believe, over 1,400 yards, 18 scores. also playing well at linebacker. But as your running back, when you needed big plays, you know, to beat the number one ranked team in the province, GW Graham last week, Flynn Hayes was right there. He stepped up at the biggest moments. I guess I know what you're going to say, but just tell me how impactful he was on Saturday.
Extremely impactful, and it's patience through the season paid off. We kind of had a slow start on offense this year, and it was part of it's just learning a new offensive language and learning the new terminology and the new system, and being able to put that into place as the season went on, it progressively got better. So Flynn's been a guy that's been there from the start, and he's another one of those guys that's like a coach on the field. He's able to communicate and with Tyler, and they're able to know what they need to do, play in, play out, and he's able to make the right reads. Just being able to make the right read on a play puts him in the position where he's able to gain yards, and he plays with passion. So all those things lead to success, and he's been doing very well for us.
That's good to hear. Brian Brady, our guest here, the head coach of the Carson Graham Eagles, set to play Abbotsford Panthers in the Subway Bowl AA Final, 4 o'clock Saturday at BC Play Stadium. Coach, we had Jay Fujimura, the Abbotsford head coach, on right before you, and I brought this point up, and I'll ask you the same question. There's a picture that we ran in the paper this morning of Abbotsford receiver Chase Claypool going up against a double coverage look from the Langley Saints, and he is high pointing to catch a ball, making a terrific catch, and it clearly shows him beating double coverage there. How challenging is this aspect for Coach Donahoe, your D coordinator, yourself, and the rest of your defensive unit, trying to find ways to slow a player down who many say is once in a generation type of a talent in Chase Claypool? What do you do? How do you slow a guy that dynamic down?
Well, I mean, we need to play as a unit, and I think that's something that we've been strong as with all year. We need to be good communicators. We need to make sure that we're in the places we're supposed to be in. We've been telling the kids this week that he's going to make big plays, and that's okay. But it's how you rally around each other to regroup for the next play. And he's been making those plays all year. He's a very talented football player, and he's very good for the Abbotsford program, but they've got a lot of other players too. So
they do. Yeah.
It's not something that we want to, we'll focus on it, and it's something that we've schemed around, but it's not something that we're going to overcompensate for.
And certainly I don't think anybody, and I'm sure Coach Fujimura would say the same thing about you guys, no one expects an easy game with a provincial championship on the line. It's going to be your sternest test of the season. What about the play of your defensive secondary? Can you talk about those guys? I look, you know, at a lot of numbers associated with your defense. The one thing that jumps out, you know, in terms of defense is tackle numbers that you're getting from your guys in the secondary, as well as the interception numbers that you guys have been able to put up with your guys there in the back.
Yeah, we have a lot of multi-sport players, multi-sport athletes playing in our defensive backfield. So they're all very athletic, and for a couple of them, football is their second sport. So just being able to use that athleticism to be in the right place at the right time. We've played a lot of teams this year that have been run heavy as well, and they've done a very good job coming up and stopping the run. Just having those athletes back there is extremely beneficial to us.
And what does playing in the dome do for both of these football teams, Coach? I mean, it must just enhance the, you know, the offensive abilities of both of these teams. I mean, you guys are both dynamic offensive teams. What did you guys find that you liked about the carpet last week, and what's it going to mean on Saturday?
Oh, there's just an extra little kick at the start of each game, and the guys get it, and you know, in the locker room before the game, being able to sit in lockers. I mean, we usually get changed, like our players get changed out by a storage bin outside. So being able to have a nice locker that they can sit in, great facilities, and being able to step out through the tunnel into the dome in front of their family and friends is really special for them. So you get to see them play for that. You get to see them play with their hearts in the sleeve, and it's a great experience for him, and it's great to see him having fun doing that.
Yeah, you know what? We should never downplay that aspect. Of course, focus number one is to try and win a Subway Bowl title, but a lot of the times you talk to these guys, Brian, you talk to them 20 years later, and they're talking about just the kind of stuff you just brought up. We had a nice heated locker room. It was this, it was that, it was all that kind of stuff. So the great little extras of playing in the showcase facility in this province, BC Play Stadium on Saturday. We want to wish you all the best. You know, it's been a great year for Carson Graham football. May the best team win, and we expect to see a great game between Carson Graham and Abbotsford. But thanks for joining us this week on the show.
Yeah, no problem, Howard. Thanks for everything.
Mark Townsend, now our guest here on Varsity Letters. He's the head coach, of course, of the Mount Douglas Rams of Victoria, making their fifth straight appearance in the Subway Bowl AAA final on Saturday. The Rams set to face Vancouver College for the Subway Bowl title. Mark, thanks again for being a part of the show here with us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
What's the tenor of practice been like for the Rams as you guys prepare? I know you're very familiar and your program is very familiar with the process of getting ready for the big game, the championship final Saturday. What's the tenor of practice been like this week with the Rams?
We've had a good week of practice, Howard. We know that it's going to be a huge challenge for us playing Vancouver College again. Certainly the absence of Declan Nicklin is going to be a huge loss for us on both sides of the ball. But, hey, we're willing to go to battle with the players that we have, not who we want.
Coach, a bit of a bomb there. I did not know that Declan was not playing. He had a solid game, obviously, in your 53-20 win over number one undefeated Terry Fox on the weekend. What's the extent of the injury there?
Yeah, he was. He came out in the third quarter of the game against Terry Fox. Unfortunately, has been on crutches for the majority of this week. He's not expected to play. If he does play, then it would be certainly an early Christmas present for us. So, but as I said, you know, we have to go to battle with the players that we have, not who we want.
Exactly. And that Michelin, we should say, has had just a terrific season for you. And you feel for anyone who works that hard in the whole team concept, coach, and doesn't get a chance, you know, to represent their school in the final game. But as you say, you will move on. I wanted to talk to you and ask you very briefly about last week's game against Terry Fox. You know, if it was an even game on paper, certainly nobody was expecting, you know, a 53-20 victory. What are some of your thoughts looking back on the efficiency of you guys on both sides of the ball in that game?
Yeah, I thought it was a terrific effort by our players, and I thought it really started with the play in the offensive line and the defensive line. As you know, when football games are won in the trenches, and I think our game against Terry Fox really spoke loudly in that regard. Defense was terrific. Offense played well, and still need to work on a few things on special teams. But overall, it was a great effort. I was really proud of the performance by our players.
I would be remiss to not ask you about Gavin Cobb, who this week was named AAA Player of the Year, and well deserved. What an incredible campaign he's had, and the versatility that he brings to your offense. Can you talk a bit about Gavin Cobb? I know we wrote about him earlier in the year in the pages of the province, but would love to hear your take on BC High School's AAA Player of the Year.
Yeah, Gavin, well-deserving, as you said, about receiving that recognition. Gavin, he's just an awesome, awesome kid. You know, he is so coachable. He's so humble, yet what a talent he has. And to have him come through our Mount Doug program for 4 years and the versatility and the leadership and character that he brings, we've been really blessed to have Gavin. He's certainly a great football player, and we look forward to him going on to the next level.
As well, I'm going to be writing about your team in the paper tomorrow, and one of the focal points of that story is going to be your young quarterback, Gideon Kremler. I just wanted to get some thoughts on him, and indeed, yes, it is correct. He's a grade 9 starting quarterback. You know what? Is this just a sign of the times that good athletes are getting there quicker, or is this just a rare instance of a special kid being in your program at just the right time here?
Yeah, I think in Gideon's situation, it is the latter. He's a very special kid. We've never done this before. Never thought we'd have to do that. But, you know, we talked about this before, going through our spring evaluation and looking at what Gideon brings to the table and looking at the maturity level that he has. It was really an easy choice for us to make.
And you know what? The poise and everything we're seeing at the senior varsity level, when I chatted with him after the game at BC Place, your semifinal win over Terry Fox, the first thing he said to me is, you know, that he's going to be playing in both the JV final when you guys play New Westminster, as well as the senior final against Vancouver College. And I think the last time I remember that, I'm not sure if Marcus Davis did that, but I know Terrell Davis did that. The linebacker now at UBC played in a JV final and I believe in a senior varsity final. What are your thoughts on him playing in both of those games?
Yeah, that's correct about Terrell. And if memory serves, and certainly you have a better memory than I do, Howard, but I believe that he was the MVP in both those games, talking about Terrell. And so with the getting back to Gideon, he's had a phenomenal year, both at the JV and the varsity level. And he has played in some back-to-back games. He's going to put in on his Superman cape, and I know that he's going to perform very well in the junior varsity game. And we'll shut him down for a few hours, and then he'll be ready to go in the varsity contest as well.
And what kind of a toll does that take on a guy? I mean, I know it's a special day, and it can be for both teams, right? And it could be a very, very special day. And I just wonder, you know, how tough is that, and how is he able, you know, to be the kind of athlete that can play that kind of situation, two games?
Yeah, I think that just, really speaks to his physical, but moreover, his mental toughness and his confidence and his poise. And again, he's played in back-to-back games with literally 10 minutes rest in between games. And he's performed very, very well with really no loss in skill level. So again, he's confident that he can do both games, and we're confident in what he brings to the table. And we look forward to the challenge of Saturday.
Well, let's talk a bit about the opposition, Vancouver College. And you referenced, an earlier meeting with them. It was a victory for Vancouver College at O'Hagan Field. I believe it was a shutout victory on Halloween. Where has your team gone from that point moving forward? Because you certainly have built up a great head of steam here heading into the final.
Yeah, and our goal, since the beginning of spring camp was just to work hard every week and to improve. And if we can even improve by 2%, over the course of a season, that does add up. And I think that we are a better team than we were on Halloween against Vancouver College. Having said that, we realize that, with or without Declan, facing Vancouver College again is going to be a huge challenge for us. You look at their offense, and they've got this dynamite running attack where they can throw in 2, 3, 4 different backs there with really no loss of skill at all. And then you couple that with the quarterback play of Jacob Samuels throwing to Rice and John. And boy, that's a real difficult challenge for any defensive coordinator. But really, I think their offensive line is really what makes their offense go. Because without those big boys out front creating good running lanes for the running backs and giving Jacob protection, it doesn't happen. So they are very, very solid all the way through on offense. Now on defense, they're terrific because they've got a lot of speed and they swarm to the football. So again, it's going to be a big challenge for us. We're working hard, seeing if we can prepare our best and see if we can be competitive with Vancouver College come this Saturday.
What about the fact, Coach, that, and it's the VC philosophy, and based on the fact that I guess they have great numbers every year, that when they're at their best and they're in this showcase game, when those years roll around that they are in the final, that their guys are only going, large majority of them are just playing one way. How much do you guys take that into consideration in terms of the level of grit and tenacity you have to bring when you've got a number of guys playing two ways?
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a gut check time, and we realize that, they've got numbers to their advantage. But, this is a team that we have at Mount Douglas, and we've never really been blessed with a large roster. We've certainly been blessed with some terrific athletes, but we feel that our guys are well-conditioned. The way that we practice during the season, it has shown in the games, and we're just going to have to have a lot and demonstrate a lot of fortitude, intestinal fortitude this Saturday, because Vancouver College certainly does have that depth.
I know that, throughout our last couple of years, you've talked a lot about Manny Lopez as a character kind of a guy. I know he rushed for a touchdown on the weekend, I believe. And if he's the guy getting the majority of the reps at running back, what do you have moving forward with a guy like Manny Lopez if he indeed becomes a feature back for you?
Yeah, we've got lots of confidence in Manny. He's really played his best football the last half of the season. And for him to come into that Terry Fox game and replace Declan, he did a terrific job. And I know that he can be an X factor out there. And he has been terrific on the defensive side of the ball as well against Terry Fox. He was far and away our leading tackler. So he's really excited about the opportunity that he has to showcase his talents this Saturday.
I know, Coach. Just to segue a bit off topic here in our last few minutes here with Mark Townsend of the Mount Douglas Rams, the head coach, Vanier Cup happening on Saturday while you guys were, you know, in your preparation stages for Terry Fox, all that stuff kind of happening around the same time. I know obviously your focus is on your Mount Douglas football team, but just to ask you for a comment about the Davis brothers, Terrell and Marcus, the roles they played this year for UBC to give UBC an extra dimension was just phenomenal. And when you look at the way that those two guys helped, you know, a local team here in BC win a Vanier Cup national championship, the pride has to swell for the whole program.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we were doing our warm up, but I would say that three quarters of our coaching staff during the latter part of the UBC Vanier Cup game were still in the dressing room watching the game. And so, yeah, we were so proud and so excited for Marcus and Terrell and all the UBC players. I think that was just a terrific victory, and the contributions that both the boys made towards that season and the Vanier Cup was awesome.
And just a last question, what about Terrell Davis? I mean, I think this is a really neat note for high school kids around the province. You know what? You can be the star running back and a guy who, you know, you would think your future is guaranteed at that position, to have the, you know, the ability and the character and the will to make that kind of full-time switch to becoming a linebacker. And now the great things we're hearing about the edge and the intensity Terrell has as a linebacker and his potential, you know, to play in the CFL someday. What can you say about the switch he made to a full-time defensive guy and to play it at that level that quickly?
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me with Terrell, because he is such a hardworking and focused kid. And just to see him go out there and make that transition after, you know, he certainly played linebacker for us at Mount Doug, because we have so many two-way players, but to get away from playing that linebacker position for a number of years at that high level of competition, and to then embrace the challenge of that and to exceed everybody's expectations in terms of his play on the field is just absolutely fantastic to see. But not really surprising, just knowing Terrell and what a focused and hardworking individual he is. It really speaks to the character of Terrell.
Well, you know what? So many great players that your program has produced, Coach. We want to thank you for being on the program today. You've built the most dominant program in BC high school football over the last decade, and it's been a pleasure to watch Mount Douglas football. Mount Douglas set to face Vancouver College in the championship final Saturday, 7 p.m. At BC Place Stadium. Want to thank you for joining us, and all the best to your guys on the weekend, Coach.
Thank you very much, Howard. And at this point, we're just really happy to be in the Subway Bowl. I don't think we would have predicted this going back to, say, 10 months ago.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much today for the time.
Okay. Thank you, Howard.
Farhan Lalji, now our guest here on Varsity Letters, the head coach of the senior football team at New Westminster Secondary School. Coach, thanks for joining us again this week on Varsity Letters.
Twice in 1 year. It's been an amazing year then, if that happens.
The Hayaks coming off of a loss to Vancouver College in the semifinal round of Subway Bowl last weekend. A tough loss for your guys, Coach. But as you look back on that game, maybe some thoughts there and some thoughts on your season overall.
Yeah, you know, it was a disappointing game. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there. I was at Grey Cup, so I was watching the web stream in my hotel room in Winnipeg. And it was tough to watch because I thought we did some really, really good things against them, especially defensively. You know, they had two long drives, really forced them to work on them. And after that, you know, I don't think they had much of anything in the run game against us offensively until the final minute. So I was really happy with the game plan and the execution of it. And offensively, we just, you know, we weren't as consistent as we've been all year. You have to give them some credit. You know, they're a good team and they're in the final for a reason. But, you know, I think we left some points out there, took a few procedure penalties that got us behind the chains, you know, dropped a few balls, and just a couple of little things that just we haven't done a lot of this season. And, you know, we just flashed offensively. We weren't consistent enough. And I think that we were equipped to move the ball against them and didn't do it. Part of that's on us. Part of that, you got to give them credit. But, you know, I appreciate how hard our kids played and that, you know, they never gave up and fought right till the end. And that really was the case with this team. You know, we had a watershed moment probably against BC earlier in the year where we let down at the end of the game. And, you know, we had some injuries and we allowed it to affect us emotionally. And after that, we held the kids accountable and they kind of saw it. And because they knew they were as good as all the top teams in the province, but they needed to, you know, they just needed to figure out where they were at emotionally and mentally. And then after that, we really took off as a team. And, you know, they got on a bit of a roll late in the season, won some big games, and carried that into the playoffs. So it was a good group of kids, great group to just be around. I'm going to miss them a lot. And they put our program back in a pretty good spot, because we haven't been in the Final Four since 2009. So to get back there is a testament to them. And I think the future is bright for us going forward, and they laid the foundation.
Yeah, that's for sure. The program's fourth Final Four berth in its recent history here. Farhan Lalji, our guest, the head coach of the Hayek Senior Varsity Football Team. You know, Coach, when you look at, you know, this group moving forward now, I just wonder, I would never ask you this during the season to play, but what do you have coming back in terms of laying that foundation? A lot of great 11s moving forward. What do you see prospects being for next year? And at the skill positions, you know, what are you looking like there?
Well, I mean, I look at our JV team that's in the final now, and I look at our varsity team 2 years ago, you know, and our varsity team 2 years ago, which is our current 10s and 11s, was 10-0 until we got upset in the playoffs. And, you know, we certainly felt that team was good enough to be in the JV final last year, and should have been there based on what happened during the regular season. So, you know, I don't expect that we need to take a step back, right? I think we've got some good, we've got a couple of good players returning. I mean, look, we graduate 19 kids in our senior class, and we return about 15. And you know, of those 15, maybe four or five had key roles this year. So we graduate a lot of kids, but, you know, so we'll certainly next year be a very grade 11 oriented team, but it won't be a green grade 11 group. There'll be a grade 11 group that has won a lot of football games. You know, like, that's our grade 10 group right now. And in the last 2 years against BC teams, they're 21-1. Right. I mean, that's a good group of kids that's got comfortable winning. So even though they'll be in grade 11 next year, I don't think the expectation is going to change. You know, True Dancy returns for us next year, and Josh Olengo returns, and they were two of our three starting running backs. Right. So we do have those two guys as two pretty good pieces to build on. Connor Patterson is a kid at linebacker and guard that did some really good things for us. You know, Ben Chernagel, who was hurt a good chunk of the year, you know, we played Mount Doug in the regular season. He did a fantastic job against Gavin Cobb. You know, he'll be healthy next year and will be an impact player. And then the grade 10s coming up, you know, a kid like Sammy Sadu, who I think has scored 36 touchdowns this season, which is a ridiculous number. You know, like, he's an impact player. We've got some good linemen, Isaiah James and Yanni Angelopoulos, who played a lot of senior this year. So, you know, we've got some good pieces coming up, and we're excited to coach them as seniors.
Well, you referenced the JV game. It's the AAA JV Championship Final, 1:30 Saturday at BC Place, New Westminster, against Mount Douglas. You know what? I know you're not coaching that JV team, Farhan, but what, you know, when you talk about that record over the last couple of years, wow, what a record. Who's coaching that group? And you know, is this just one of these kind of pockets of talent you found within your group? Or is this kind of typical, you think, of what you want to, you know, kind of build towards moving players into that senior program?
Well, first of all, Darnell Sikorsky is the head junior coach, and he's done a fabulous job. But our program is operated differently. We have one coaching staff. So are we, you know, we have coaches, we have, you know, seven position coaches, really we've got 10, but we've got every position covered off. So we've got an offensive staff and a defensive staff. And, you know, so I spend half my time coaching JV quarterbacks. I'll spend half my time coaching varsity. Darnell spends half his time with the varsity running backs, half his time with the JV running backs. And then, you know, certainly when we break off into team, then, you know, he focuses there with a couple of coaches, and I do the same. But it's the same systems. It's the same coaching staff. They hear all of our voices, and it leads to a lot of continuity as they come up through the system. So, but, you know, got to give a lot of credit to Darnell and Chengao Sui, who's the D coordinator, because they put the game plans in and take the ownership. But I think one of the unique things of our program is we all coach all the kids. You know, the kids at our practice, the JVs are on the north side of the field and the varsities on the south side. And it's the coaches that flip halfway through practice, right? So the kids are hearing from all of us. And now that we've got this week with just one team, they're getting double the coaching. So that's a good thing for them. And we've also kept the grade 11 kids around to help put our scout teams together to practice against those kids. So they're getting more competition in practice this week. But it's, as far as the talent, you know, I mean, even that JV team, we've got Kinsale Phillip as a starting grade nine quarterback, and the two of their starting backs are grade nine kids. And so, you know, it's not all of a sudden going to be just a pocket. There's 23 grade 10s that'll come through, but the cupboard won't be left bare for next year. And then when we look ahead to our junior Bantam team, the grade seven and eights that are playing in the VMFL, we got a good crop of grade eight linemen coming through. So what's been weird is that it has almost alternated by positions. We've got, you know, really good linemen in the grade 10 group and really good skill kids in the grade 9 group and really good linemen in the grade 8 group. So it's kind of weird how that's pocketed, but there's talent coming all the way through.
Well, that's the ultimate in continuity. And obviously it's a demand on the hours of the coaches, but that's true dedication for him. Did you guys start that coaching system when you introduced your wing T offense, a number of seasons ago? Or has that been the case right from the start of the rebirth of Hi-X football, you know, in 2003?
You know, it actually came as the result of the strike in 2005 with the teachers, because, you know, it limited our coaching staff a little bit. You know, a lot of programs, they'll kind of take their, you know, they'll look at their staff and they'll take their youngest coaches or their, you know, lesser qualified coaches and say, okay, you go coach JV because they're younger. And that's kind of really backwards, because the best fundamentals should be taught at the youngest ages, right? So we just decided, rather than having, you know, whatever, four junior varsity coaches that all had to coach two sides of the ball and maybe coordinate when they weren't qualified to coordinate, we just said, why don't we just make everybody position coaches and figure out who our best coaches are and then assign them coordinating roles. And it allowed us to kind of do more with less coaches, because at that time we were really thin on coaches. You know, so now if we had to combine groups of positions together, it became a little bit easier for both teams. We didn't just want to leave the JVs twisting in the wind. So it started in 2005, and then, you know, we introduced the offense in 2007. But yeah, it was about the third year of our program, and it just basically happened by necessity. And now I've kind of sent our practice plan template to other coaches, you know, that have asked about it around the province that have smaller coaching staff. So we did it when we had a smaller staff. Now we have a bigger staff, but we still think it's the right thing for us.
Well, that's continuity, as we said. And Farhan Lalji, the Westminster head coach, joining us on the line here in Varsity Letters. The opponent, coach, 1:30, the AAA JV game at the Dome, is the Mount Douglas Rams. And if you had beaten VC, I guess at the senior level, you would have been facing Mount Douglas in the final there. And their quarterback, Gideon Kremler, the grade 9 quarterback. I understand Gideon Kremler is also going to be starting at quarterback against you guys at the JV level. Can you talk about him as a player?
He's a great player, you know, and we played them earlier this season in Victoria, and we won just a thrilling game, 48-47, that went right down to the wire. So I expect no different this Saturday. You know, they ran two kicks back for touchdowns, which certainly hurt us, so we hope to be better in that area. But, you know, the thing with Kremler is, if you watch Kremler play senior football, he shows a lot of poise as a passer. You watch him play JV football, and he's not only that, but he's also a very good athlete, and he uses his legs more and scrambles and keeps plays alive. And, you know, he doesn't have that dynamic Gavin Cobb type kid at the junior level. He's that player. Kremler is. So, you know, he can beat you so many different ways. He starts at safety. So he has such a greater impact in a JV game. So, you know, certainly he's been the focus of what we've been doing this week. And he's the number one guy that we've got to find a way to stop. But, you know, he can make you look bad. So it's impressive to me the way he's been able to handle both and just stay poised and stay healthy and be durable all the way through.
Well, we're talking about young players here as we talk about the JV level of BC High School football. Should we be surprised that there's a grade 9 starting quarterback these days on a senior varsity team contending for a title, Farhan? Or do you think this is just where it's going?
Yeah, I mean, it's just where it's going. And, you know, like, I don't think that should be offensive to people, right? I mean, you can debate whether you should play, you know, play for both and things like that. But in terms of young guys playing up, I mean, you know, we've had to kind of be faced with it ourselves. You know, we've got a kid, Sammy Sadu, who might be the best running back in our program, regardless of grade. And, you know, we kind of went back and forth on what to do with Sammy. So, you know, he's had a few minor nicks and bumps, and, you know, we knew our JVs had a chance to win the championship, and, you know, the gap between him and the other running backs in senior, it wasn't large, right? So we just thought, as an overall program, it would be better to do it this way. And he's dressed, and he's been more than good enough to play senior, but we just haven't done it. But we've done it with some linemen, and our quarterback, Kinsale Phillip, is a stud. Like, he's a really good athlete who does great things. He's a natural thrower of the football. And if Kinsale had to pop in at a varsity game, he would be just fine. And we dressed him when we had some injuries earlier this year to Jamie Shiho, and he would have gone into those games as the number two quarterback, right? If he had to play, we would have been very, very comfortable because he's a poised kid. So that's just the way the sport's going. And in the U.S., you see it all the time, right? I mean, programs are four-year programs. You don't have JV playoffs in the United States, right? Like, they play a league game just to get games in and experience, and then it stops because the focus is the varsity team. And for the most part, that's how we've operated, that if we've had to make a choice in most years, you know, the choice has been those kids play varsity, and if they're younger, they're so much better for it. You look at a kid like Harper Sherman. Harper Sherman started for us as a 10th grader. And if you're going to play at the highest level, and, you know, you expect to be dominating at the highest level, you should be equipped to play as a JV. That's just the way it should be, right? And any team that's going to contend for a provincial title at JV probably has four or five kids good enough to play varsity. And we're no different.
That's a great point to make here. We're all out of time with you this week, Farhan, but thank you for coming on and sharing some thoughts about New Westminster High X football. The whole program in its entirety is having great success these days. Of course, 1:30, the JV AAA final, Mount Douglas, New Westminster at the Dome. I know, you guys in High X Nation are all excited about the potential there for a provincial championship on Saturday. So all the best. And obviously, thanks again for being a part of this show all season long. And we hope to have you on again, obviously, next season. But thanks for this today.
Look forward to it. See you Saturday, huh?
Thanks, Farhan. And that will be the show for today, everybody. We want to thank our guests for joining us. Jay Fujimura of the Abbotsford Panthers, Farhan Lalji of the New Westminster Hayaks, Mark Townsend of the Mount Douglas Rams, and from the Carson Gray and Eagles, Brian Brady. Hope you enjoyed the show. The sound of the band is the MAI Screaming Eagles with our theme music, Generation Next, and we hope to be joining you again really soon.
You've been listening to Varsity Letters, your British Columbia High School and University sports podcast, hosted by Province sports reporter Howard Samura. Read Howard's blog at theprovince.com or follow him on Twitter at HSamura. That's HTSUMURA.